All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, and we're going to turn to a couple of passages of Scripture. First of all, let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. Ezekiel, chapter 28. And I'll begin right there. Ezekiel 28. I think a long time ago, I preached a message. When I first came here, I preached a message on the Prince of Tyre in verse 2, and then the King of Tyre in verse 12. And I showed you there that the prince of Tyre was a man. All right, his actual name was Ethbaal the second. All right, that was who was the prince of the head honcho at Tyre back in Ezekiel's day. And then we see over in verse 11 and 12, we see the king of Tyre. And we're going to read about the king. And everybody knows the king is higher than the prince, right? Yes. All right. Everybody knows that. Okay. So notice, please, verse 11 of this chapter. And let's see what it says. Verse 11 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God." Now here's what God says about the king of Tyrus. "Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes." Remember now, the pipes are musical instruments that you blow wind across in order to make a sound. Tabrets are skin covered or wood hollowed out instruments that you would hit in order to keep a beat. All right, so he's talking about music here. "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." All right, now hold your place here, please, and let's go over to the New Testament. And I want to just read a couple of verses over here. Let's start, please, in the book of Ephesians for one verse. All right, the book of Ephesians. And look down to at chapter 6. And look at verse 12. All right, is everybody there? Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And what's Paul saying there? Well, Paul is saying that man is not our enemy. Selah. Think about it. All right? Man is not your enemy. You say, but you don't know what he said about me. It doesn't matter. It's not your enemy. You say, well, who's my enemy? Well, the devil. Just to reduce it down to what it is. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. That is your enemy. Everybody look at me. I am not your enemy. I know that disappoints you, John.
Oh, I love you.
Don't forget where you are. All right, look please, if you will, at 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. First Peter, chapter 5, and verse 8. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your, what's the next word? And who is your adversary? The devil. There it is. All right? So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. All right, one more verse. Go over to the book of the Revelation and chapter 12, please. Revelation chapter 12. All right, begin reading. I'll read, you follow. In verse 9, chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God, day and night. And they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You want to know why our world is seemingly getting worse and worse with each passing day? Well, the answer to that is our adversary, the devil, knows that he has but a short time. Now, he doesn't know when the rapture of the church is going to take place. He does not know that. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, only my Father in heaven knows that. But he can read the signs just like you and I can. He can look at our world today and realize, wow, it's getting close. It's got to be getting close. And so that's why he is so busy. He knows that he has but a short time. All right, let's pray. Go back to Ezekiel for a moment, 28, and then let's pray. And then I want to speak to you tonight, a message I'm going to entitle, The Subtlety of Satan. The Subtlety of Satan. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask now your blessings to be upon the preaching of your word. Thank you so much for each one here. And Father, I pray you'll stir our hearts tonight as we listen and as I do my best to tell on the devil and to expose him for the liar and the murderer that he is. And Father, I pray that you'll put a hedge around this place tonight, and may nothing hinder what I'm about to say about the one who would do anything in the world to hinder. So, Father, I pray that you will help me, and I pray you'll help our folks as they listen. And may we learn something tonight that will strengthen our faith in the things of the Lord. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen. The Christian life is a battle against our great enemy, our great foe, the devil. Our enemy is Satan. Plain and simple. There's no other way to describe it. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, I read for you a moment ago, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world." You see, Satan was kicked out of heaven because of pride and because of self. He wanted to be God. And so God kicked him out of heaven and he fell down to this earth. And that has been the story right from the beginning. By virtue of the fall, we became the partakers of sin and therefore destined to the same fate as the devil. But through the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb, we can have eternal life and victory over the devil. We don't have to lose in the battle. We don't have to lose in the fight against our great enemy. Now, who is our enemy? Let's think about him here for a moment as we look at Ezekiel 28 and see exactly what God told us about the devil. If you'll look, please, at verse 12. You will see here that Satan was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. I hear folks, on TV, some of these, I don't listen to them anymore, but back when I first went into the ministry, I would listen to what they were saying because they were deceiving so many people in my community. So I wanted to hear what they were saying. And I would hear some of them, if I called their names, you would identify. You say, "Oh yeah, I know, I've heard that one too." But anyway, they say stuff like the devil showed up, and he was red, and he had a pitchfork and a forked tail, and all. No. He was the most beautiful creature that God ever made. He was full of wisdom and he was perfect in beauty. Perfect in beauty. Now you think about that. You didn't see the devil standing there with a pitchfork in his hand, smelling like brimstone. You just didn't do it. That's all makeup. That's all stuff trying to get you to send a love offering in. That's right. You know it's true. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says that he was covered in precious stones and was capable of using tabrets and pipes because of his unparalleled music ability. Most theologians think that the devil was the choir director in heaven. Now, there is not a verse anywhere that says that, but nonetheless, that kind of is intimated here in this verse dealing with the matter of music. And I'll tell you another thing. I don't think that there is anyone who knows music any better than the devil does. I mean, he has used music from the beginning of time to distort and deceive. That's exactly what he does. There, contemporary thing. The devil knows exactly what he's doing. And you ought to just go online. Some of you young people that just think this is the most wonderful thing since donuts. Since ice cream, you ought to go online and just look up some of the guys and gals that are in that movement, that contemporary music movement, and just read about them. Now, it'll shock you. And if you want to sit around and feed your flesh with all that garbage, go ahead and do it. But you're not going to grow for God, I'll tell you that. You're just not going to do anything for the Lord. You mark it down. Then look at verse 14. We're told in verse 14 that the devil, Satan, was the anointed cherub. Now, in all probability, and again, we don't know for sure, but in all probability, this is telling us that the devil was perhaps the chief of all the angels. He was as high as it gets on the hierarchy. And he was the anointed cherub, the anointed angel. Then in verse 17, you will look and see that his heart was lifted up. Look at verse 17. God says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." Now, that would not be the first one that ever got a lifted up, prideful heart because of their beauty, would it? No, sir. All right? So he said, "Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." So in verse 17, we learn that his heart was lifted up because of his beauty and his wisdom. He just thought that he was all that. And it ended up getting him booted out of heaven and cast to this earth. Then in verse 16, go back one verse, we see that sin was found in him because of his pride. All right, look at verse 16. He said, "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God." I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now, sin was found in the devil, and thus God's wrath and judgment was poured out upon him. All right, then notice in verse 18, the Bible tells us here that the devil was cast out of the presence of God. Look at your Bible, please. It says, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be, what's the next two words? A terror. You know what a terrorist does? He inflicts terror. Who's the chief terrorist? Satan. Exactly. Yes, sir. He said, I don't know whose side to be on over in the Middle East. Duh. Seriously? Man, you better not be on the side of terrorism. For sure. Let me give you some other verses that where the Lord exposes Satan. In John 8:44, John tells us the Lord Jesus said that the devil is a liar and a murderer. A liar and a murderer. You know, you don't make accusations like that unless you can back it up. And the Lord Jesus could back it up. I mean, he could take us all back to the Garden of Eden and show us where the devil murdered Adam and Eve and plunged mankind into sin. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says that Satan is the god of this world. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, the Apostle Paul said that the devil, Satan, can transform into an angel of light. But we all know that he's just full of darkness, don't we? But he can transform into an angel of light. That's pretty powerful. And that's how he deceives so many people. You know, we are so naive, aren't we? We think everything that glitters is gold, and it's not. There is a devil, a real devil, and he can take that which is darkness and turn it into light and make it look appealing, when the truth of the matter is, it's appalling. All right? And then the verses that I read for you tonight out of 1 Peter 5. And Peter tells us that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And as time goes on, folks, Satan just gets better and better and better at his murdering and lying. He just gets, as my little sister used to say, gooder and gooder at what he does. He sure knows his stuff. He is more subtle today than he was 6,000 years ago when he attacked Adam and Eve in the garden. Because he's had now 6,000 years of experience at being subtle. Now, just a couple of things I want you to think about this evening. First of all, why does a Christian need to know what the Bible says about the devil? Well, I can tell you that in a real short sentence. We need to know about him because we need to know how the enemy, our enemy, works. If you don't know anything about your enemy, you're going to be caught off guard. It's just that simple. I mean, we need to know because Satan is real, and you can literally see his footprint and his path of destruction from the front of the Bible to the end of the Bible. I mean, he knows how to oppose God, and he has not stopped since he was kicked out of heaven. We need to know about the devil because he has launched an attack against God and against God's people. There's not a week pass that I don't deal with someone who has been attacked mercilessly by the devil. There's not a week pass. He discourages, he lies, he blinds, he deceives, he devours, he murders, he cheats, and he's after you, Christian. Christian, listen, the devil is after you. He'll do anything he can to destroy you and your testimony and your walk with God. You see, part of winning a battle is knowing your enemy. That's part of knowing or of winning the battle. You can defend better against him if you know a little bit about what he's up to and how he's going to come at you. You just need to know your enemy. It's that simple. A couple of weeks ago, I was watching a football game on Saturday evening, and the game I was watching ended, so I flipped it over to another game. I did not see all of this game, but it was down to the last minute or so of the game. And the team that was pressing was wanting to make sure that they scored and that they ran as much of the clock down as they could so that the other team, when they kicked it off after scoring, would not have time to take the ball down the field and score against them. So they were on about the 5-yard line. And I turned it over when they were just getting ready to snap the ball. And just before the play clock ran down, the quarterback stood up and called a timeout. And I thought, well, that's weird. And I looked at the thing up at the top. They had 2 timeouts left. Well, they just used one of them. All right, so there's a minute to go. Maybe not even a minute. And they call a timeout. I didn't see the first part of it, but I later went back and watched what led up to it. And here's what they were doing. The team about to score, 1 minute to go, first down on the 4 or 5-yard line. The quarterback gets under center. Everybody lines up. And he waits till the clock gets all the way down. It's like 1 second, time out. And I'm wondering, why'd he do that? Why'd he do that? I looked. He had two timeouts. He used one. He's got one left. All right? So the announcers said this. That was smart. Now, I'm sitting there going, that's the dumbest thing I ever saw. All right? But the announcer said, that was smart. And I thought, well, how so? And he said, that quarterback came out, got them all down ready to go, but he wanted to see what kind of defense they were going to throw at him. And so once he saw it, he called time out because the play they had wasn't going to work against the defense they had set up. You with me on that? And folks, listen, it's the same way with the devil. We need to know about him so that we will have some kind of an understanding of how he works. And I'm telling you, he is subtle as he can be. Now, in Revelation 12, as his time draws closer and closer, we read that John tells us the devil gets more busier than ever. And that is why we must be alert to the devil's devices. I mean, he has every available weapon at his arsenal directed at you and at me and at your children and at Carroll Christian Schools and at Church of the Open Door. I mean, he is after you. The devil is after God's preachers. The devil is after those that love the Lord and who stand for the truth. And if you stand for the truth, you are one of the devil's biggest targets out there. Oh, he hates you with a passion. Now, let me tell you why, folks, I think that we ought to watch out for the devil. We ought to know what he's doing. You see, if we didn't believe this book, we'd have nothing to worry about. If we didn't believe this book, we'd have nothing to worry about. If we didn't preach the blood of Christ, we'd have nothing to worry about. If we did not, you heard Pastor Ray's testimony tonight of people getting saved, and Pastor Josh telling us this morning that three folks, two got saved and one got assurance of his salvation, which in my book is he got saved too. It's just the way I see it. If you don't know you're saved, then you better make sure. All right, so I would count that one. I'd count that one. You know, if we didn't see people saved, then we'd have no need to fear the devil, would we? If we did not baptize folks and the waters of the baptistry were drained out and we never baptized anybody, well, we'd have no need to fear the devil. I mean, if we didn't take little boys and girls and pick them up at their house in a bus and bring them into Sunday school and sacrifice and give in order to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ, well, we would have no need to fear the devil, would we? But you see, we do all those things. We do all those things. And I can assure you that everybody in Carroll County and all over the area know that our church is the church that runs the buses and picks up the kids. Our church is the one that has people going out on visitation and soul winning and talking to people about the Lord. I mean, the whole community knows all about that. We have been thrust to center stage in Carroll County. And we'd better be careful and know our enemy, or we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble. Now, let's just think for a moment about, secondly, let's just think for a moment about Satan's work in the past. Can I remind you that it was Satan who toppled David from his throne? Can I remind you that it was Satan who weakened Samson of his power? Can I remind you that it was Satan who stripped Solomon of all of his wisdom and glory? Can I remind you that it was Satan who took the innocent blush from the cheeks of Eve? Can I remind you that it was Satan who possessed Judas Iscariot and caused him to sell our Savior for 30 pieces of silver? Can I remind you that it was Satan who wrecked Lot and his family? Can I remind you that it was Satan who paralyzed the work of the Old Testament prophet Balaam? Can I remind you that it was Satan who wasted 20 years of Jacob's life? Think about that one. Can I remind you that it was Satan who enticed Aaron to make the golden calf while Moses was up on the mountain? Can I remind you that it was Satan who made shambles out of some of the greatest men and women on this planet who have ever lived on this planet? Oh, he knows his business, folks. And I'm telling you, there's not a doctor anywhere who knows his patient's body as well as the devil knows you and your weaknesses. He watches for every crevice he can open in order to get in. And he is trying his very best to destroy us, even as we sit here tonight. He is after you, Christian. He is after your character. He is after your morals. He is after your reputation. He is after your decency. He's after you, and you need to realize that. And so we've got to be careful, don't we? I mean, he'll attack you with fear, temper, laziness, selfishness, popularity, money, a bad spirit, covetousness, vanity, pride, discouragement, lust, anger, hatred, bitterness. You better be careful, Christian. You better be careful. He's after you. Christians who are doing anything for God, the devil's after you. And you need to be aware of the fact that you're in his crosshairs. So, folks, seeing what the devil has done in the past, don't you think that that ought to make us be very careful about the future? I mean, if we can look at what he has done, you think he said, well, that's enough. I'm going to take it easy now. No. No. He is even more busy. Why? He knows he has but a short time. So be careful. Be careful. The devil is after you. Now, real quickly, let's look at his attack, and then I'll close. Let's look at his attack. He will get folks on the outside to come after us. We've seen that. I don't always come in here and tell you some of the battles. I've told you some of them. But I battle with the state and the county and the city all the time. All the time. It's seemingly never stops. It goes on. The state wants to control Carroll Christian Schools. Oh yeah, they want it. They want control. And I just tell them, no, you're not getting control. We're just not going to let you. Can we send somebody in to overlook this and see that? No. We'll do fire and safety, but that's it. All right? Stay out of my school and stay out of my church. Amen. If I want you in, I'll call you. But I'm telling you, don't sit by the phone. Because it ain't going to ring. So leave us alone. We go down to Annapolis for a luncheon and the association for the Christian schools has a luncheon for all of the people down there in the Maryland Assembly. And they'll come by and they'll say, well, what can we do for you? And I just look them square in the eye and I say, here's what you can do. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Leave us alone. Oh, yeah, we can do that. I said, no, you can't. No, you can't. Well, you're never going to hear anything out of me. I said, good. Talk to some of your constituents. Because they don't feel that way. I mean, you'll get the outside world to attack us. There's nothing I can do to control all the stuff that people say about the Church of the Open Door. I told you the one about how the rumor is that Church of the Open Door owns the mall down here. I told you that one, right? Yeah. They said that's the reason why there's no Victoria's Secret in the mall. Because that pastor won't let Victoria's Secret have a store in the mall. Where's this stuff get started? And my wife found out through a stylist, hair person, that she said, let me ask you a question. And Karen said, sure. She said, I heard a rumor. And she said, you did? Yeah. Does Church of the Open Door own the mall? No. Where'd you hear that? Well, you know, I heard it. But this person said that they were down at the mall and they went back to the office for something and there was a business license on the wall and it said that it was owned by the Church of the Open Door. And Karen said, no, I believe I would know that if it was owned by the Church of the Open Door. Now, folks, listen, let me settle it right here. The church does not own the mall. Okay? We do not. We've never even been in negotiations with anybody to buy the mall. Okay? Please understand that. But that's an attack from without. It's to make us look bad. We had, when we were dealing with the 10 acres over here where the bus barn and all that is, we went down for the signing, Larry Haynes and I, and somebody else, I can't remember who else was there. But anyway, we were sitting there, and the guy said, the lawyer said, we're going to buy this 10 acres of land over here for X amount of money, and And so he said, Pastor, I need your signature on here. And then he said, I'm going to shove it over here. And sir, you can sign it. And then we'll have our notary sign it. Well, he pushed it over to me. I signed it, willingly signed it. Sure, we're going to get the bus barn. And we're going to get the land that goes with the bus barn. And so I was excited to do so. I signed my name to it, and then I pushed it over, and he took it and shoved it over to the notary. And the notary said something like, well, I don't know why you just don't buy the whole county. And I said, is it for sale? Man, he glared at me. Oh my goodness, if looks could have killed, I'd have been dead right there. I said, oh, is it for sale? He glared at me and squinted his eyes. Folks, listen, we can't, nothing we can do about that outside attack. You know, we just hope that, you know, it's like water that goes off a duck's back, you know. We can't sit around and let it impact and hurt us. I mean, we have a world out there that doesn't like us. This one family, I went and visited this family about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Now it's been a while, and I sat down and I said, "We're so glad that you folks have moved into the area. And I want to thank you for coming to church Sunday." And they said, well, we're probably not going to be here very long because my husband is in a business where he gets transferred a lot. And I said, oh, well, I said, well, you can, you know, if you come back and get involved in the church, you know, you can serve the Lord while you're here. We're fine with that. And so she said, well, I just have one question before we go any further with the church. And I said, what's that? She said, my neighbor told me that you brainwash people. Is that true? I reached in my pocket and pulled my pen out and I said, follow it carefully. She said, oh, preacher, like that. I said, no, I don't brainwash people. I wish I could, but I don't. I don't. I mean, you can't do anything about that stuff. But here's something we can do. We can realize that the devil will try to get us from the inside. The outside, don't worry about the outside. There's nothing you can do about the outside. But if he can't get you from the outside, the devil will try to get you from the inside. We are God's army. And we could turn the world upside down if we don't kill each other first. You know? That's right. That's right. Oh, listen. Don't fall into that, Christian. Love your neighbor. Love your brother. Love your sister. But watch now. If he can't get you to attack the brethren, then he'll get you to retaliate when they attack you. That's the devil. If he can't get you to attack the brethren, then he is going to do everything in his power to get you full of vengeance. You know, I don't get mad, I get even. Oh, I've had Christians tell me that. Well, I don't get mad, I get even. Well, you shouldn't get either. You know? Don't fight back. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. God said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Jesus said, "Love them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you." He'll lead you to compromise. And if he fails to get you to compromise, then he'll get you to hate those that do compromise. Yeah. Oh, he's slick. He'll lead you to fail, and if he doesn't succeed there, then he'll make you proud of your accomplishments. He knows all about pride. He'll lead you to impurity. And if he can't do that, then he'll do his very best to make you a Pharisee. I mean, I'm so much a better Christian than so-and-so. Really? Maybe in your eyes. But that's how the devil deceives, isn't it? And folks, we need to realize he never comes through the front door. He never wears a red suit. He never smells like smoke. I'm trying to figure out a way to say that. He never smells like smoke. He doesn't have a pitchfork in his hand. He doesn't have a pointed tail. No, his terminology is usually the Bible. All right? The devil knows the Bible. Now, he twists it around, as we're all aware, but he knows the Bible. And he never takes you or me into sin in one giant step. It's always little baby steps. Until we get out there and realize, whoa, what have I done? How did I get here? Well, you got there one step at a time. Baby steps. Baby steps. You say, well, preacher, how do I stand against it? Well, over here in Revelation 12, the Lord said, here's how you stand against him. You stand against him with the blood. The blood. Verse 11 of that chapter 12. The blood. That blood, I don't know if you're aware of it, folks, but that blood is on every page of this Bible. It's here. You can't get away from the blood. Devil comes after you, claim the blood. Just start singing a song that has the blood in it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, he'll run. He'll run. He doesn't want to hear that. How do we defeat him? Well, the blood, but then also not just the blood, but the word of your testimony. That's why we do what we do with the Soul Winners Club and teach you to make your testimony. Write it out. Memorize it. Know your testimony. And then use it. Use it. That's witnessing. That's soul winning. Boy, the devil hates that, as we all well know. Now, folks, listen. He's after you. Don't let him have you. Don't let him have your kids. I made up my mind years ago, I was not going to let the devil have my kids. And I kept them close. I kept them close. I kept them close to me and to Karen. We kept them close. We got involved in their lives. I didn't turn them over to the to the world to raise them. I was the babysitter.
Amen.
That's what you got to do. They're your kids, regardless. They get 40 years old, they're still your kids. They're still your kids. Don't let the devil have them. Don't let the devil have them. Now, folks, let me tell you, the subtle one is after you. Let's stand against him. Bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you now for your wonderful word. And I tried to take all these verses that tell us about Satan and what he's up to and what he plans to do, put them all together and present a battle plan. So, Father, I pray you'll help us to take the word, apply it, and use it in our lives. They overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So, Father, help us to love you and serve you and overcome the devil. We all know what he's up to. We all know how he behaves. And so, Father, give us boldness to stand. And as Paul said, having done all, to stand. Bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen.